This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
There's a push coming up in August to clear the animal shelters here in Central Texas, and we'll talk about that coming up in just a couple of minutes. But first, let me welcome Jennifer from the Austin Animal Center. Jennifer, I appreciate you joining us today on Inside Austin. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you for the invitation.
Let's talk about, first, what is the Austin Animal Center? For anybody who doesn't know, what is the Austin Animal Center?
So the Austin Animal Center is the animal services department of the city of Austin. So it's the municipal animal shelter for the city, and it is one of the largest no-kill shelters in the United States. So we're consistently at about 97% to 98% save rate, and there's about almost 20,000 animals who come through our door. So that's a huge number of animals that we're able to save every year.
And no-kill is relatively new, like within my lifetime. Was Austin one of the first municipalities to jump on or maybe be at the forefront of the no-kill movement as far as animal care goes?
Yeah, it's definitely one of the bigger ones. So Austin became no-kill in 2011 and has really been at the forefront of it since then. And Texas, you know, historically has not had a large adoption of no-kill policies. And so Austin has really kind of led the charge on that over the years, which, you know, is all because of the community that we have in Austin. There's really no way for no-kill to work in a shelter if your community doesn't support you. And so, I mean, that just speaks volumes to the people that we have in Austin.
And let's talk a little bit about how the pandemic has altered operations. We spoke off the air a second ago that you're working from home. And I think the last time I talked to somebody from the animal shelter, operations were I guess, paused for a while. But there are, you can make an appointment now and maybe an adoption. Talk a little bit about how the pandemic has affected the operation for the Austin Animal Shelter.
Yeah, it changed everything. I mean, no one has worked through a pandemic like this. So it's been a huge learning opportunity for everybody. But so because we're a city department, we had to follow city rules that the city manager and the mayor that we're putting out. And so when I believe it was March 16th, the shelter was ordered to close. And so we were only allowed to have essential staff there, no volunteers. We weren't allowed to have fosters and adopters come in. And so we kind of operated there to just keep our staff safe. And then as we kind of got in the groove and the city was letting us open up a little bit, we've been able to have adoption appointments come into the shelter. We're making sure that they're spaced out so that there's a certain number of people in the building at all times so that they can maintain the 6 feet of social distance that's keeping customers and staff safe. But we're slowly being able to reintegrate volunteers, which has been such a huge help. I mean, it's been really hard, you know, for everyone, for the staff, for the animals to not have the volunteers there. But I mean, it changed so much. And when the shelter initially closed, we've always had a great foster base and great support for our foster program. But we had, oh my gosh, I think we had over 1,000 applications in one day come in for people to foster animals. So, I mean, it's been such an amazing show up for people, you know, who are working from home now, who have come up and, you know, hadn't fostered before, took home a dog who's been sitting in the shelter for 6 months. I mean, it's just an amazing outpouring of support for us.
Yeah, I can imagine that a lot of people have realized now they're not going to work. They're working from home if they have one of those types of jobs. Maybe they're a little lonely, or maybe they just realize that before they couldn't foster or adopt because they didn't have time or resources. Yep. It's really more about time, I think. especially if you're working 9, 10, 12 hours a day. But if you're doing it from the house, it's a lot easier to take care of a foster or an adopted animal if you're right there with them all day long.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you as the foster learn so much about that animal, which then helps its adoption chances. But I know me working from home now, if I didn't have my dogs here to just keep me company and talk to, I would go start crazy for sure. I don't know what I would do.
They'd probably become your favorite coworkers.
Yeah, I mean, they already are, right?
But right. Well, let's talk about clearing the shelter. There's a push, I guess, coming up in August to clear the animal shelters here in Central Texas. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so Clear the Shelters, we've always relied on the Clear the Shelter event to really help us clear the shelter. So it comes in August every year, and that's a time where our shelter is always packed. We're always over capacity in the summer. And so it's been this huge event that we've relied on to draw in adopters for one day. We would have hundreds of adoptions in one day and get lots of animals out. Now, that's so different this year, obviously, with the COVID-19 restrictions, that the event is the entire month of August. And it's not actually changing our operation. So people will still have to make an appointment online and then come in, you know, at their designated time. But we are still waiving adoption fees for the entire month. And so it's really just more of a push and an awareness to still adopt from shelters. The shelters still need lots and lots of help. And we're hoping that it can still kind of be that kind of saving event for us for the summer, because the shelter is absolutely filling back up, even though we've had tons of great, you know, fosters who came in to take animals. You know, as people are going back to work, some animals are coming back in. We definitely have lots of, you know, stray animals who are coming in, owner surrenders, that kind of stuff. So that hasn't exactly stopped. So we definitely still need the help like we do every single year.
What is it about the summer that makes the shelters so full as opposed to maybe other times of the year? I'm just curious if you have any idea why it's like that in the summertime in particular.
I mean, it's kind of anecdotal. I don't have hard data, but a lot of times in the spring you have litters of puppies and kittens, so that's one of it. And then I think part of it, too, is, you know, a lot of people will leave for summer vacation and leave their dog or cat with someone, and sometimes that's kind of a, you know that your dog might be a door darter when as soon as you open the front door,
sure.
And your dog sitter may not. And so there's some things like that, or, you know, 4th of July can sometimes be a time where you get lots of loose pets. So I think it's a variety of reasons, but definitely the shelter is overrun every spring and summer with kittens. We have kitten season where there's literally thousands of newborn kittens that come to the shelter. So that's something that we've always dealt with and have always asked for the community support on. So that's one of the reasons, too.
So if you need or need a kitten, if you want a kitten, now's a good time, especially for kittens, right?
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, the really great thing about kittens is, I mean, they're adorable, obviously.
Sure.
But especially to sign up to be a kitten foster, I mean, they're so easy. As opposed to, you know, a puppy or an adult dog, for someone who maybe doesn't have a ton of time, doesn't have a ton of space, but really wants to help, you know, an animal or the community, fostering kittens, it's so much fun. They're so cute. And you're doing a great thing, because what happens is we'll have, like I said, thousands of kittens who are brought to the shelter, and there's just not room for them. So we work with partners like Austin Humane Society and Austin Pets Alive, who help us kind of carry the weight of all of the kittens in Austin. But, you know, the other really big thing is that when you have newborn kittens, their best chance of survival is to stay with their mom. And that can be kind of hard sometimes when you see a litter of kittens, you know, in a backyard or in a field or something, but it really is their best chance of survival to stay with their mom. And then once they're of age to bring them into the shelter, versus scooping up the whole family and or taking the kittens away from their mom and then bringing them to the shelter.
We're talking to Jennifer from Austin Animal Center. And Jennifer, I think you make a great point. I never really thought about this because I'm more of a dog person. In fact, I have cat allergies. But for somebody who isn't afflicted with cat allergies, cats, I guess, are a lot easier to foster than dogs, right? Because it's I believe that cats need a lot less or want a lot less attention than maybe a dog does. Is that true?
So there are some cats who like lots of attention. We call them, you know, they have kind of dog-like tendencies.
Yeah,
a majority of cats are pretty fine to just do their own thing. We tend to see more dogs get put into short-term foster care, because it can be really difficult for a cat to adjust to a new home. They don't adapt quite as easily as dogs do. So we send lots of kittens into foster homes, but adult cats, unless it's a long-term foster, a month or a couple months or something like that, we generally have them. They get adopted really quickly at the shelter, too. But definitely kittens, you usually get them around 2 weeks old, depending on when they came in, 2 to 3 weeks old. Usually at 8 weeks, they've already got adopters lined up to take them. So that's kind of a nice, like, you know that it's only going to last about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
You get the super adorable, playful phase, especially when they're younger. You can put them in a bathroom, spend some time with them, but they sleep so much too. So it is definitely a kind of a lower maintenance, less attention, but they're so cute. You're going to want to play with them anyway.
Yeah, and you obviously need full-time homes for these animals. Let's talk about the fostering process. If somebody is willing to come on board as a foster home, I don't know if you call them foster parents, what's the process like, and how can they get signed up?
So they'll visit our website at austinanimalcenter.org, and there's a link on there to fill out a visitor profile, which then puts you in touch with the foster program. And from there, one of the foster coordinators will reach out. They'll learn a little bit about your home life, what kind of animal you're looking to add into the home, and they'll do their best to match up with the animals that we have. Now, you can definitely look through our database on that website, see if there's some animals who are calling out to you based on their photos and their profiles, and they can look up those notes and match you up. But, you know, we have, especially with the dogs, because like I said, they are more adaptable and they can just do an overnight or a weekend without causing a ton of stress. We definitely advocate for that too. I mean, doing a week or longer is usually best, or a couple weeks or longer is best, just so that the dog has time to decompress from shelter life. Because a lot of times, the shelter is not a natural environment for animals. Dogs in particular are pack animals. So for them to be in a kennel all day long by themselves is really hard and really stressful. So we try to get them into homes as much as we can. They can spend time with people. We learn about them. You learn about them, because what they're like in the shelter is not generally indicative of what they're like in a home. So there's tons of benefits in being a foster. But ultimately, even if you can only keep them for a week or 2 weeks, it helps us learn about the animal, and so that we can, pair them up with the best adoptive match.
And Jennifer, before we run out of time here in just a couple of minutes, let's talk about the neighborhood level program. Is that relatively new, and what is that?
It's probably about 3 years old. And so what this program really focuses on is they've taken data to find where in the community we've had the highest number of intake. So animals who have come from a particular community or zip code where they're seeing the most lost dogs, they go into that community to A, look for the families of those dogs, but then also to give resources. And so they go to a lot of homeless shelters or just, libraries, resource fairs, that kind of stuff, to help people who are in need and connect them with pet food, collars, leashes, crates, all kinds of things that get donated to our shelter to then help them out so that people can keep their pets, keep them in homes. If someone is having an issue keeping their dog in their yard because the dog digs out or there's a broken fence or something, you can contact the shelter and we'll have animal protection come out and help you with your fence. So there's lots of really amazing programs to keep animals with their families, even if someone's fallen on hard times.
We're talking to Jennifer from the Austin Animal Center. And Jennifer, what are ways that people in Central Texas, Austinites, can help? Are you looking for volunteers or donations, or how can we help you with your mission?
The biggest need right now would probably be donations, and then just helping share things on social media can be a really big one too. If you're not in a position to foster or adopt, which a lot of people aren't right now, sharing, an adorable dog that you see on our social media feed to your pages, you don't know who's going to see that. So just helping us spread the word about that kind of stuff. We have an Amazon wish list on our website, so donating through there. We always need treats. Peanut butter for the dogs, harnesses, that kind of stuff. And then once we open back up, we always need volunteers to walk dogs, socialize cats, help with the veterinary services, all kinds of things.
And Jennifer, with the last, say, 30 seconds we've got, I'll give you the last word. What did we leave out? What would you like to add to the conversation?
I think the biggest thing is we want to thank the community more than anything. Like I said in the beginning, you can't be no-kill and you can't be successful without the community's help. And we know Austin is full of animal lovers. And so it just takes everybody helping out and looking out for the animals and looking out for one another. And we so appreciate that. And tons of people have stepped up with the shelter being closed. And so I just want to, express my gratitude and the shelter's gratitude for our entire community.
And if you would, remind us what that website is again, please.
Yep, it's austinanimalcenter.org.
That's pretty easy. That's Jennifer from the Austin Animal Center. Jennifer, I appreciate you joining us today on Inside Austin.
Thank you so much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.